Hello, everyone, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be. Bruce Ash, along with Eb Wilkinson and producer John Couch, welcoming you to a special edition Passover Easter Inside Track. I'm joined here by co-host Eb Wilkinson. Greetings, Eb.
Bruce, how are you?
Wishing you a blessed Easter holiday. Our family conducted our Seder last night for the first night of Passover. My sister and all of her extended family, her kids and grandkids, my wife's brother, his wife had a cold, so she got a go box from us as he left yesterday evening. Our son and his family and our grandson, Bodie. We got through the entire Passover Seder. Everyone had a chance to read from the Haggadah. We drank all four cups of wine, went through the entire Passover story, which is the great lesson of Exodus, which I love, and got a chance to teach the kids that the struggle for freedom goes on today, such as in China, where the Red Chinese are holding tens of thousands of Uyghurs. These are Muslims living in that far area of China. We held our Seder out in the back patio. The grandkids all had a chance to run around, and the evening was quite lovely. I was especially happy to have our grandniece, Kayla, join us for her first Seder. You can see pictures of our Seder on my Facebook page. As always, thank you so much for supporting our great Inside Track sponsors, Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. I'm Ms. Wilkinson, Asset Management, and Corazon Cabinets. These are great local companies you should do business with. Okay, let's get to it. Our first guest this afternoon is a very special friend, one of my RNC colleagues, and the Committee on Arrangements Chair for the 2020 Republican National Convention, which will be held next summer in Charlotte, North Carolina. Toni Ann DeShiel is the National Committee Woman from Texas, so don't mess with her or Texas. She has a long history of Republican political activism that dates back to when she was in high school. She was elected as a delegate to numerous Texas Republican state conventions and served as a delegate in the 2004, 8, 12, and 16 Republican National Conventions. She was appointed by the Texas Community Service, or she was appointed the Texas Community Service Leader at the 2004 convention in New York City and organized the other delegates to clean up a stretch of the riverbank in New Jersey. That could have been easy, Toni Ann. And she served on the 2016 Rules Committee in Cleveland. Toni Ann has participated in many successful political campaigns, and while she isn't Republicaning, she is a small business owner with her husband. Toni Ann, welcome to Inside Track.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you to both of you. And I, too, would like to wish you both a wonderful Passover and happy Easter. I hope this season brings much happiness. It already sounds like it, Bruce. I mean, what a celebration you had yesterday.
It was awesome.
Wow, that was incredible.
All of us wore these little hats that had the 10 plagues on them. And yeah. I was boils, which, you know, some of my political enemies might say, oh, yeah, that fits, Ash. Anyway, it was great. And having my grandniece there, Kayla, for her first Passover Seder was really awesome. It was really so interesting to watch her and her eyes kind of, you know, light up big. And I gave her a few things to read from the Haggadah. It was awesome. So, Toni Ann, what's the date of the 2020 National Convention?
Well, that date actually is August 24th to the 27th, 2020, as we just mentioned, in Charlotte. You know, Bruce, that is 492 days away from right now. That's like 16 and a half months. That's going to be here before we know it.
Yeah, it sure will. Now, I think you were part of the site selection process. Am I right about that?
No, I wasn't, but that, you know, that did start, beginning of last year, I mean, as they organized that committee, and they went to a number of different states, or I should say different cities, and really looked at each one, what they had to offer, and in July of last year is when the decision was made that Charlotte was going to be the Republican Party's city for that 2020 convention.
So what were the real pluses that Charlotte had over the other cities?
Well, the thing that Charlotte, oh my gosh, you know, I had never been there until right after it had been selected. It is, one, it has a number of new hotels that have been built. It did have the, it does have the experience of a convention. The Democrats had theirs there in 2012, but they have added so many more rooms. It's all, you know, concentrated into a very condensed area. You're not having to travel so far. You have all these different venues, just like within walking distance. They've got a light rail that goes through the city. They have transportation. It's an incredible city. And you know what? And the people are delightful. We had, you know, the diversity of the different groups who having, say, understanding that what of the convention would do for their city and how that would bring in so much.
So it's sort of interesting. Charlotte doesn't have a Republican city council, but we've met with the public officials from there. And what kind of contact and experiences have you had working with the public officials in Charlotte? Because it seems from the outside, you know, from where I'm at, that, you know, a pretty good crew.
You know, it is. I was named in this position in August, and right after that, after I was so honored with that title, I ended up going to Charlotte, and I met with the mayor, I met with the city manager, I met with the county, all these different elected officials, the host committee, every single person was very welcoming. They were excited. They wanted to know the next step. And I mean, we were so far ahead. It's like, let's just build a relationship. Let's see what we can do for each other. I went into the police department. They have their command center already built out because it was there from 2012. Wow, that is impressive. So there is so much there, and everybody seemed very excited. Oh, there were a few people like, do we want to do this again? But when they look at the bottom line and they saw how excited we are, the Republicans, to come in, it's really going to be a win-win situation.
So a question for you. This is a big job that you have. I mean, chairman of the Committee on Arrangements. I mean, that's pretty much, you know, all of the planning and all of the advance work and you know, the actual convention itself. What's the thing that has most surprised you in this position so far?
Well, you know, what is great, I see the surprise is that we really have an incredible team. Marsha Lee Kelly was named the president/CEO. So she's putting together the staff and that how we all will be working side by side, making the arrangements, working with them, giving input, having a give and take. And that, I mean, it has been incredible how far ahead we are of where we've been in the past. I think we're like 6, maybe 8 months ahead when we started this, and that everybody wants to participate. I mean, the first night I was there, there were like 20 people came together just so we could sit down and listen to each other. And so that was so impressive to me, to be able to have that type of a connection and the people willing to work and willing to make that Queen City shine.
So you don't have, I mean, these are professionals. It's just not volunteers you're dealing with, correct?
That is correct, and that's a very good point. You got it. That's to where we do have, we will have a full staff, and they'll be directors. They're just starting to be hired at this point. We're developing all of that. So, I mean, we have communications. Something new that hasn't been done is a person for delegate services, because Marsha and I truly believe, as our chairwoman, Ronna McDaniel, believe this is going to be an excellent experience for all, for the delegates, for re-nominating our president and vice president. But this delegate services director is really going to be focusing on how this experience can be good for the people on the ground, for the ones that are going to be participating.
So, Tony Ann, we're going to come back just a sec. We're going to hear some commercial messages from our sponsors. And when we do, we'll talk more about the delegate experience at the 2020 National Convention for the Republican Party. You're listening to Inside Track. Tony Ann DeShiel is our guest. And let's hear these messages. Welcome back to Inside Track. We have Tony Ann DeShiel, a Texas Republican National Committee woman from Texas, and chairman of the Committee on Arrangements for the 2020 Republican Convention next year in Charlotte, North Carolina. This will be your fifth convention, I think, Tony Ann. And we talked briefly about the delegate experience, a special department or person, you know, who's involved with this. What do you look to see as the major thing that delegates will get from this convention that perhaps hadn't happened in prior conventions that you've been to?
Well, you know, one of the things is that the involvement, as you had read before on the my first one on the community service, that might be something that we might be looking at to develop as community service, and it hasn't, there's been a little bit here and there. But this, I think, really needs to be something special because the Republicans are very, they are caring people. They do care, and we want to shine. We want to help Charlotte. So that could be one element that might be a little bit different than what's happened in the recent conventions. There will also be activities that will be, that will highlight these different areas during the day. There's a lot of things being planned that will make it very special. The hotels are fairly close. You know, we have to go out a little bit, but not as far as we've had to in the past. And those that are going out, there might be something special if they're, you know, a few miles outside of the city.
So how much do I have to suck up in order to get Arizona really, really close by the convention hall? Is there anything I can do?
Well, Bruce, I got to tell you, you know, I've got a lot of new best friends being in this position.
I'll bet you do.
So, saying that we really want to be in that perimeter of what's going to be very secure. The whole place is going to be secure, but very secure. Yeah, that's going to be the challenge as we get closer. So I'm hoping to make everybody happy.
Yeah, let's talk about that security perimeter for a second, because it's a big deal. This is a national security event, and there always is, whether it's the Democrats or Republicans, a lot of security around conventions. And so assume for a second that Arizona might not be at the top of the list to be inside of the security perimeter, but just outside, okay? Maybe just, you know, 100 feet or so. The things that we saw, particularly in Tampa, Florida, I mean, it was almost like an armed camp. Is there an effort going on with our convention in 2020 to provide the kind of security that we need, but to do so in a way that is more delegate-friendly and, say, more friendly to the vendors and the merchants and the restaurateurs that are inside the security perimeter?
And I would say yes. That is one of our directors that has been hired as our security director, and they are working on those plans. You know, the one good thing that having the experience, the chief of police is still the same one that was there in 12.
That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And incredible person. Their team, nobody is wanting to retire until after the convention to secure that we have a flow, an ebb and flow that goes to where the delegates aren't feeling like they have to walk a mile to get into the perimeter. And so that is we have to have that perimeter. We want that safety. We'll have the latest technology. But we are working on it now. And again, like I said earlier, we're 6 to 8 months ahead of schedule. So we're really checking into how that's going to work and make it the easiest possible for all those who are attending.
Well, this has got to be expensive to put it on. What does it cost to put it on, and where does the money come from?
Well, you know, that is a very good question. It is very expensive. We don't have all the exact numbers right now, but there's money that does come from the government that ends up giving to both parties to make sure we're secure. So that is, in the past, it's always been about $50 million. I don't know if we'll have an increase or not because of the technology and how that has, those expenses have gone up. But then there are those donors that we have. We have the major donors that are buying into this, that want to make sure that is a success and that, you know, that we do get to nominate our president and vice president. And then also we have the different vendors, you know, that have always been there, but we're looking at new ones and in recruiting or having dialogue with them to see how they will invest in this convention. So it's, you know, they're major dollars. We're working on it. In fact, we're ahead of schedule at this point, but we still, you know, we're putting that budget together to make sure that it is all going to be reached and will be paid for before we leave there.
So tell the listeners about the construction of the arena facilities that are made to fit our requirements, the staging and so on, because this is something that is sort of, I won't say last minute, but it's in the final stages, and it's usually the case where literally, as the delegates are arriving in the convention city, the last finishing touches are placed on the convention itself. It's a big effort putting together the venue, isn't it?
It is a major effort. And, you know, this arena is a bit smaller than what we've had in the past, but it was done before. We know it can be done again. Typically, it takes like 6 to 8 weeks. We usually block off that time. I'm not sure the number of weeks we've blocked off, but we are getting bids at this point to come in. We're figuring out the layout, how it's going to work, and where do we put the stage. And those 4 nights that we are on national television with, what, millions and millions of viewers, that we are going to have an incredible setup that is going to work for our delegates on the floor, our alternates, our guests, our media, everyone that's there. But it takes time, but it's being planned out right now. And so that way we will make sure it is going to highlight our President Trump and Vice President Pence and be able to showcase all the different people and what has been done for the last year and a half.
Tony Ann, I know you've got to get to another event, and we're up against about 2 minutes before I got to let you go. But in those 2 minutes, you know, we've talked about the delegate experience, we've talked about the money and the planning and so on. But in the end, I mean, we're political people, you and I, and I'm just a buck private in your committee, which I'm happy to be on one of the committees. But this really, the purpose of the convention today is really to make sure that our nominees have the greatest send-off possible. So all of the things that you're doing, whether it's security or TV and data and all the other things, these are the things that really do go into the product from the convention, which is our two nominees. And it sounds as though work is really, you know, in great, you know, forward speed right now. And I would imagine that the campaign is starting to get involved with the RNC, with your committee, to make sure that this is the greatest television production ever.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. That is the major, that is our purpose. That is our goal, is to make sure, just as you said, we send out that president and vice president, President Trump, Vice President Pence, send them out with all of the these Republicans standing behind them and getting that vote out in November of 2020. And yes, that is one element that I think we all are excited that every single entity, the RNC, the Trump campaign, the volunteer section of the COA, and the staff we are all working very closely together, and everybody has a seat at the table and are listening to each other.
Well, Tony Andashiel, chairman, the COA chairman for the 2020 Republican National Convention, thanks very much for coming on the show, sharing some of the background and the insights about the convention. This will be my fourth convention. I'm very much looking forward to it, and I'm very much looking forward to being your partner with you in this effort. Thanks very much for coming on the show, and a great, great blessed Easter to you and your family.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and all to you, too. Thanks so much. Have a good one.
Thanks, Tony Ann. All right, we'll be right back after some commercial messages from our great sponsors. You're listening to Inside Track. Stay tuned for Republican Party of Arizona Chairman Kelly Ward. Welcome back to Inside Track, and a welcome to Kelly Ward, chairman of the Republican Party of Arizona. Dr. Ward, how are you today?
Hey, Bruce, I'm doing great. I just spoke this morning in Fountain Hills at the Fountain Hills Republican Club, and now I am on the road to Lake Havasu City to see the rest of the family for Easter.
Yeah, so you be with the fam and get back with a little bit of regular home cooking, I guess?
That's right. Yes. It looked like you were having some pretty good food at Seder last night.
Oh, it was awesome. The kids were great, and this is my favorite holiday, Jewish holiday of the year, because of the story of the Exodus and freedom. Yeah. And you know, I've said to others, this is a Republican holiday. You know, I mean, it's all about the things that we believe in. And boy, we had a great time. Hey, besides the President of the United States, I think you're like the second most active and busy Republican official I know. How do you keep your energy level up with the pace that you seem to do 6 or 7 days every week?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I think also next to the president, I'm the one that gets attacked almost the most. But in terms of energy, I just try to eat right. I'm no perfect eater by any means, but try to eat right, try to exercise. I love going to Orange Theory, and have really been getting back into the swing of that since the campaign. I really was a stickler while I was campaigning, but kind of let it go a little bit over the holidays, and I've been back there. And I love what I do. I think it gives me energy. The people that I see, the hope that they have, the love that they have for our country and for our state really inspires me, and it keeps me going.
So, you know, you talked about criticism, I guess any Republican Party chairman or Democrat Party chairman, for that matter, is going to get some. But you've really transformed yourself since becoming the chairman of the Republican Party of Arizona, because you've always been a campaigner, but you've been the active one campaigning, and you've been, kind of on the fight and, marching toward an ultimate election win for yourself. Now, your whole focus has changed, right? Because you're trying to get Republicans across the board elected. And I know from our discussions how committed you are to that. A much different kind of a way of looking at the world, but you're succeeding at it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is a different, it's a different game that you have to learn how to play. But I do think that serving in the legislature and then running those grueling statewide campaigns really put me in a great position to do the job that I'm doing. A nice lady and her husband gave me an Easter card at the Fountain Hills event, and they just said they're very happy with your energy, enthusiasm, and terrific background that you bring to our Arizona party at such a critical time in the history of our country. So that kind of sums it up. I think that I have what we need at the right time to do this huge job that has to be done in 2020. I'm willing to unify the party. I'm able to unify the party. I've been called, Bruce, from all over the country, from people who are really happy with the way things are going in Arizona. And some are surprised, because many times when conservatives, and I consider myself a liberty-loving, conservative, constitutional Republican, when people like me are elected into positions like this, into chairman positions, and it doesn't happen that often, let's all be honest, but when it happens, many times they use that as a hammer against the people who didn't support them in the past, and that is not my role. My role is to is to be the glue that holds this party together and to be the person that herds the cats or herds the rattlesnakes, whatever it happens to be, into the right direction so that we're all moving together as one unified, strong, unbeatable Republican Party. And I look forward to doing it.
So let's talk about one of the things that the Republican Party of Arizona is doing since your election in January, and that is our digital presence. It's increased by 7,000% since the end of January. 7,000%. That's not like 7%. That's not like 70% or even 700%, but 7,000%. How have you done it, and what has the result been?
Yeah, it's really important for us to have a strong digital presence and to have radio shows like yours and have outreach via emails and blogs and different kinds of places where we can reach the people, because we all know that the mainstream media is not going to do the job for us. They're going to spin things, skew things, and twist things into a way that fits their agenda, which sadly, too many times, has become an extra arm of the Democrat apparatus. And we're seeing it with the Mueller report. You know, we're seeing it across the board. Anything that Trump's done, all of the accomplishments that he's had, have somehow been twisted into something that they want people to believe is bad. So we're working very, very hard at the Republican Party of Arizona to have a huge digital presence. And so we did it. We hired a great company. They're called Rally Forge. They are out of Arizona, headed up by a precinct committeeman and the chairman of LD12, Jake Hoffman. And he's a millennial himself. He's at the older end of the millennial spectrum, but he's a conservative guy. He understands what helps to engage the people in the digital world. You know, people who are, we want them to engage with the content, not just to scroll past it. We want them to be inspired by it. We want them to share it. We want them to comment on it. And it's really just been wonderful. I've always had a strong digital presence, and I think it's because I was willing to communicate with people directly, and I still am, because people are crying out for that direct connection with the people who are supposed to be serving them, who are supposed to be listening to them, who, in the case of our elected representatives, who are supposed to be their very voice in the body that they serve. And when they're able to get that, I think that they're very, very grateful. And they feel relieved that they're not just talking to themselves, that they're not just throwing a shoe at the television because they're mad about something. They're actually having that communication, that two-way communication with somebody who they think can do the job and can help them.
Kelly, our co-host Eb Wilkinson has a quick question for you, too.
Hey, Kelly.
Okay. Hey, Ed.
So how do you do this in spite of the mainstream media being against us as viciously as they are?
You just have to persevere. That is the key, because they would love nothing more than to have Republicans curl up under a table, sucking their thumb in our safe space. And we just have to grow a thick skin, and we have to understand that there are going to be times when they attack, and then that's going to go down. We also have to have our own social media and our own digital armies who are there to defend and to promote and to put the positive out there to counteract the negative. The Democrats seem to have an endless supply of internet trolls who probably many of them are one person with 100 different personas that their only job is to attack Republicans that are either in office or serving in chairman's position, or just Republican activists. That's their actual job, is to be these trolls that try to draw you off course. Their goal is to not allow us to continue to talk about economic freedom and the economic successes that we've seen under President Trump and under really almost every single Republican-led administration in the country, whether it's at the state level or at the local level. Republicans, they prosper economically.
So how do these Republicans find the social media sites to get onto and tap into?
Well, the first and foremost thing is we have to get our people on social media. I'm always surprised that whenever I go to different meetings, you know, it's about half the room. And sometimes, depending on the audience, it's less than half. So we're going to be at the party training people how to get involved on social media and do it without fear, or at least as fearlessly as possible, because we need them. We need them out there. That's number one. And number two, just, you know, to understand that when you post something as a Republican, you're likely going to have some people not like what you say. You just have to laugh it off and let it go like water off the back of a duck, and continue on your way, knowing that you're sharing great ideas that no matter where they're implemented, that they cause people to prosper.
Kelly, we're going to take a break here in just a second, but before we do, I want to get a quick question in from Paul, who's calling in to talk with Kelly Ward, chairman of the Republican Party of Arizona. Paul, what is your question?
Yes, my question is this. I do appreciate her courage and strength, and I appreciate the same thing in Donald Trump and our vice president.
Yeah,
but
man,
for the rest of the Republican Party, it's just exactly what she said, that they should not be, cowards who crawl up under their desk and they're afraid they're going to get slapped in the face by the media and have no courage whatsoever.
Thank you, Paul.
Well, Paul, you know, that's one of my jobs as the chairman of the party, is to shore up our Republicans and to make sure that they feel like they have the support that they need from the people in our party and the people that are higher up in the political apparatuses, so that they can perform fearlessly as well. We have one of the strongest delegations in Washington, D.C., Republican-wise, people who are putting forward great policy ideas in the form of legislation, and that is actually getting through the process, the arduous process of going from the House to the Senate, or the Senate to the House, and then getting to the executive's desk and getting signed into law. And so, you know, Martha McSally just had a bill about the drought contingency plan that was signed by the president. And the president congratulated her on Twitter, and that was wonderful. Congressman Biggs is out there every single day in the media putting out conservative ideas, Republican ideas. Congressman Gosar has had many, many amendments and bills signed into law. Our people are working hard. We just need to make sure they have the support from us so that they can keep doing it.
Unbelievable. We do have a great congressional delegation, and we're going to take a quick break for some good messages from our partners. We'll come right back with Chairman of the Republican Party of Arizona, Dr. Kelly Ward. Welcome back to Inside Track, sponsored by Corazon Cabinets, your locally owned source for high-quality kitchen, bath, and office products. Great, great values at Corazon Cabinets on kitchen and bath cabinets. Call 488-2266. Tell them you heard this on Inside Track and get an additional 5% discount on Corazon's already low, low wholesale prices. You'll be amazed by the great styles and super, super low prices at Corazon Cabinets. We're on with Republican Party of Arizona chairperson, Dr. Kelly Ward. And let's go talking about, Kelly, the lifeblood of any political party, and that is money. We've had some great results in February and March and here in April, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. And you're right. The lifeblood is the financial side. We do need money to be able to do the job that we need to do. Of course, we need people too, Bruce. You know that. We need active people who are willing to work. But things are going like gangbusters at the Republican Party of Arizona. In February and March alone, when we summed up that quarter, but February and March, we had more donors to the Republican Party of Arizona than we had in the four quarters prior to my taking office, and that was during an election year. And April just looks so bright. As of today, we have more than twice as many donors in April than we had in any month in 2018. So people are really excited, and they want to put their money where their mouth is. So we've got small dollar donors, which is great. That's how the Democrats did. That's how Barack Obama raised so much money, was from normal people saying, hey, I could give up one cup of coffee a day or one cup of coffee a week even, and I can put that into the political wheels and see how they spin and see if we can go in a right direction. So we have small dollar donors, but we have large dollar donors as well. People who are financially able to be able to help us to not only run the office and run it efficiently and effectively, but have the resources to reach the voters, to register Republican voters, to reach those Republican voters, and then to make sure they get to the polls during election time. That's the job of the Republican Party in Arizona and in the nation, is to make sure that our voters turn out for our candidates.
So, Kelly, this doesn't randomly happen. I mean, you've been doing a lot of work to make this happen. Why should people be giving to the Republican Party of Arizona as opposed to a particular candidate?
Right. Well, I mean, I think they should give to both, actually. But I think that we do different jobs. Sometimes the party can be a little bit of a harder-hitting punch against our Democrat opponents. And so we need to have the finances to be able to do that. And, there has been some kind of kneecapping of parties in general, Republicans and Democrats, with the rise of the Super PAC and the Independent Expenditure Committee. These are entities generally run by huge political consultants who get paid whether you win or whether their candidate wins or loses. And so ultimately, they always win. And it's kind of frustrating because those entities can't talk to the candidates to know what's going on or what do they need. They have to be separate. And so candidates sometimes are stuck with these independent expenditures that go out that they don't support, that they haven't asked for, that sometimes make them look bad and sometimes don't help them. And that's really kind of sad when the political parties, the Republican Party especially, is there to help Republicans win, to help spread their message and amplify the message of every single candidate, every single Republican candidate, legislative or running for Congress or running for Senate or, of course, running for the President of the United States.
You know, we've always been pretty tough on ourselves. We're not an echo chamber necessarily, and that does inure to, you know, creating difficulties for party officials. Kelly, I was in Rancho Viscoso, Sun City, this past week, giving a talk to the Republican Club there. Merritt does a great job running that committee, and mm-hmm. The support for the Arizona Republican Party is without a doubt higher than I've ever heard or seen before. Multiple people in that audience, very vocal in their support of you, very vocal about how they are on target, and want to participate in the 2020 election. So, we're obviously having an impact. And now we have a new state director from the RNC who's starting May 1st. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting because the RNC is going to invest in Arizona very, very early, earlier than maybe they ever have in the past, because they know that the path to victory for President Donald J. Trump runs straight through Arizona. And so they want us to have the resources that we need, and they want us to start building that grassroots army that is going to be just invaluable come 2020. But we need to start building it now. I read an article just yesterday about why Republicans are bad at outreach. And whenever somebody says outreach, that means into communities that aren't traditionally Republican, but share a lot of our values. The Black community, the Asian community, the Latino community, the Jewish community. They're communities that should be aligned with Republicans and should be part of our party and helping us to win elections, but they've been kind of co-opted by the Democrats for a long period of time. And, they basically said, we need to listen and we need to build our armies out. I think people are just excited to get involved now. They see that there's kind of a bright new day in politics in Arizona. And Bruce, we've had this conversation for a long time. For a long time in Arizona, there was power that was concentrated among the few. And I don't want to take that power away from them, but I want to spread the power out among the many. Because the more people who feel empowered to help win elections, who get involved with 2020, who go to the national convention in Charlotte in 2020, in August of 2020, the more people that we can have from Arizona who are just revved up beyond belief, the more likely it is that we are going to have not only President Trump and Senator McSally, but our congressional delegation will hopefully grow from 4 Republicans and 5 Democrats, and we will be flip that back around and have more Republicans than we do Democrats. Our legislative side, so that the Senate is further apart than 17-13, and for goodness sake, the House in Phoenix, we've got to get beyond.
It's barely a working majority.
Yes, 31-29. So we've got a lot of work to do. I think people are excited to be able to do it.
Chairman, let's talk about training, and let's talk about recruitment of new voters and precinct committeemen. We had the RLI, the Republican Leadership Institute, during the last presidential cycle. In this cycle, we are recruiting for Trump committeemen. We've signed up all kinds of new committeemen around Arizona. Talk about that, and talk about the Leadership Institute training that'll happen both here in Pima County as well as up in Maricopa County.
Yes. So the Republican Leadership Initiative, I believe, is going to be renamed something else nationally. We'll check with Drew. Drew Sexton is going to take that role as the, and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to announce that yet. I think it's been announced.
It is. I talked to him yesterday.
Formal. And he's going to be great as that state director for the RNC. And he'll be heading up that program to train our activists and train people in the model that National would like us to follow so that we win. We at the Republican Party of Arizona are partnering with counties across the board, in particular with Maricopa County on one that's upcoming in April 27th. We're going to be having something in conjunction with the Leadership Institute about communication. And I recommend that anybody who is thinking about running for office or is thinking about helping someone run for office, come to that course. There's room for 250 people. We would love to have you. If you use the code AZGOP, then you can get it for only $15. You can find it on the website. Then we are going to be having actual trainings for people who are running for office and also the people who are helping on their campaigns. And we're holding one in Phoenix and one in Tucson, as long as we can get 30 people into each one of those classes. So Tucson area, we need you to step up to the plate so that we can have one in Tucson. And that's going to teach about communication. It's going to teach about fundraising. It's going to teach about digital. It's going to teach about making sure you have the right people on the ground. It's going to be talking about activating the workforce. It's going to be just amazing. It's going to be over a few months, 2 months, I believe, maybe 2.5. On the weekend. And, you know, we want our Republicans to have the resources they need. We're also going to be holding a couple of other kind of fun things. One is going to be some social media training that I talked about before, so people don't feel intimidated by Facebook and Twitter in particular, but we'll probably touch on Instagram and Snapchat and some of the other modalities that are out there. And we are going to be doing basically a dress for success for men and for women, so that when people are on the campaign trail, their presentation, their visual presentation isn't distracting from the message. It doesn't mean you have to give up your style, but it means, you know, you want your message to be the thing that resonates with the people. You don't want somebody to be talking about your haircut or the color of your shirt or the shoes you have on. And so we're going to be offering a few workshops like that as well for people across the whole state.
You know, it's too bad Kelly can't get excited about anything. Too bad Kelly's not involved in a whole bunch of stuff. And too bad Kelly doesn't have a great staff all around her. Kelly, I'm glad that we had you on the show this afternoon. You'll be back, obviously, often. And drive safe to Havasu. I'm glad that we were able to get you in some good cell territory. And enjoy the Easter holiday tomorrow.
Thank you, Bruce. Enjoy Passover, and everybody out there, happy Easter. Go to TrumpCommittee.com. If you're listening, as soon as the show's over, go to TrumpCommittee.com and sign up to be on the Trump Committee and help us win 2020.
Thanks, Kelly.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody, please support our great sponsors. Imus Wilkinson Asset Management, Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus, and Corazon Cabinets. Each of these companies are well-run, local family businesses, all their profits stay in Tucson to help the community. I know each one of these owners, and they love our hometown. They deserve your support. We've had two great guests on today. I thank Eb for being here, John for running the board. Eb, a blessed Easter holiday to you.
Bruce, thank you.
And we'll see you soon. I guess you're off to the NRA
next
weekend, so I'm flying solo. Until then, for Inside Track, this is Bruce Ash and Eb Wilkinson wishing you a very good afternoon.